This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. As you know, I went with Ford. I saw Tom Mertz before the, I want to say it was the UCLA game. And I said, hey, look, you know what? It's the best purchase I ever made. And the buying experience was phenomenal. It really was. I mean, you know, you go in like, I got to buy a car. What's that going to be like? Nope, not with these guys. Nope. They were great. Not good. They were great. So what a difference that makes. And, you know, when I was there, pre-owned inventory, the lot was filled with pre-owned inventory, lots of it. And each one of them has the Sunbury Motors guarantee, which makes a huge difference. Huge difference. And that's, you're looking, the budget may be screaming that. So if it's screaming that, fine. You know, guess what? You got that kind of guarantee, makes a big difference. And a terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. All at Brewers Outlet, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Hello, Todd. How are you today?
Hello, I am doing fine. Good. Not excited I had to bust out long sleeves, but other than that, I'm good.
Yeah, that's what I was on some other show this morning. You know, I was a guest. And they said, you know, how is it being back from California? I said, well, it was 80 degrees on Saturday. It's 34 here right now. So, yeah, it's great. I can't wait. Oh, well. Hey, let's see. I was kind of wondering why they had a parade scheduled in the Bronx today. I guess what Judge got a hit? All right, so, holy mackerel. I mean, Cleveland, you expect to be outmatched in this series. But I'm telling you right now, if I'm a Yankee fan, I'm getting a little like, what the heck's going on here? I mean, look, you need your stars to be your stars. I mean, to be honest with you, Ohtani hasn't lit up the world either in the playoffs, to be honest with you.
I think he's 0 for 19 since that first inning homer against the Padres in Game 1.
I think he has 4 hits, Todd, total. I think he's had 3 hits since or something like that.
Well, he's 0 for 19 now then. I know in the story right. I read last night that he was 0 for 19 in his right. last 19. I thought it was since game one.
And what, Judge is hitting 133 in the playoffs, I think. And they're not exactly, he's not like, well, they walk him every time they're pitching around him. No, they're striking him out. It's like, now they're fortunate last night, Soto. The bottom of the order, by the way, I thought for the Yankees came up big last night in watching some of that game. I mostly watched the Monday night game between the Jets and the Bills.
Oh. I was going to say, why?
Because, you know what? I was just in the mood to watch football. Yeah, I think that's the big reason why, Todd. I was just in the mood to watch football. Because, you know, I mean, for example, Saturday on the plane, I was able to watch Oregon, Ohio State, Minnesota, UCLA, and Kansas State, Colorado. Saturday or Sunday, yeah, you know, it was family day. I did all family stuff. You know, I helped out my son with his yard. I went to a grandson's soccer game. We had a birthday party for a granddaughter. And so, you know, so I didn't really watch a lot on Sunday. I just was in the mood to watch it last night. And then, you know, it was kind of like watching The Fugitive in the train scene. And with the, when the train hits the bus, right, you couldn't look away. It was that bad. It's like, this is bad.
I saw after the game that it was the first NFL game with where each team had 10-plus penalties and missed two or more kicks since a replacement game in 1987.
to be honest with you, I'm glad you brought that up because that was brutal. The penalties, I mean, the one thing, you miss field goals. Okay, you miss field goals. I got that, okay? Oh, no. There's a request. All right. It's like, I don't really want to do that. And okay, whatever. All right, so okay, I get a lot of requests, and I do make them all work. It doesn't mean it doesn't take some time out of to do it. It's like okay, and there's too many penalties. Now, last night, replay assist had to come in at least three times last night, which sped up the game, by the way. It sped up the game because they did do replay assist. But penalties were called, like, you know, over the line of scrimmage, and it turned out replay assist said he wasn't. You look at the replay like, well, I don't know it. What are you looking at? I'm not sure that crew was a top-flight crew. And by the way, the Jets did get Davante Adams from the Raiders today.
And they're going to pay all his contract.
Well, everybody in the NFL can do that.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody can. Look, like, if you are an NFL owner and you claim that you've lost money, you're a dope. I mean, it's like everything's falling out of the sky for you.
I just meant they made sure they got Davante Adams.
Mm-hmm. Nah. Right. Base salary, $16.69. $330,000 in roster bonuses. He only has 18 receptions this year. One touchdown.
In his defense, his quarterbacks are Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Hold on, Todd. When Gardner Minshew took over a quarterback, I had people calling the show saying, oh, he's just like, oh, jeez. And I sat here and went, just kind of rolled my eyes and went, really? Then he lost two starts, and everybody went, well, he's not that good. Like, tried to tell you. Wasn't trying to be mean. I don't have a dog in the hunt. I wasn't trying to be mean. I was trying to be realistically analytical. So what did they give up in this trade? Anything?
Like a third round pick. I think it can become a second round with certain things.
See, that's why, remember the Chase Claypool trade a couple of years ago with the Bears, and the Bears gave up a second round pick? And I was so baffled on the show. I said, that's a sixth or seventh round pick, maybe. That's the way it is when you trade guys these days. You rarely make in-season trades like that and get, like for Adams, any better than a third. I never see anybody get any better than a third. Hey, look, essentially, Aaron Rodgers has everybody around him he's asked for. Now they have to make it work. Now they have to make it work. It'll help Davante Adams, A, that it's Aaron Rodgers, and B, it's going to help Davante Adams a lot that Garrett Wilson's on the other side. I think it makes a big difference. And they're in a division where you can make a move. I mean, the AFC East is not good. I mean, the Dolphins are a shell of themselves without Tua. The Patriots are struggling. I think, Drake May is now the starter. Does that sound right?
Yeah, he started yesterday.
Yeah. And do they have the Thursday night game this week? Or is it the... What's the Thursday night game this
week? Actually, I think you're right.
So I guess we'll get a chance to say they're playing Jacksonville? No? Yeah? Or are they playing
Jacksonville?
That's the London. That's the London game, right?
Yeah, Jacksonville stays in London for 2 weeks.
Okay. Well, who are the Patriots playing?
Thursday night is Broncos Saints.
Broncos Saints.
So it must be Jags, Pats, and
Broncos and Saints. Boy, the Saints got off to an incredible start. And now nothing. They haven't done anything since. So, I don't know.
Yeah, the Patriots are the Sunday morning game with the Jags in London.
Right, okay. I eventually did get that part right. It took a convoluted route to get there. It's like arriving at Disneyland and it took you 2 hours, but you're like, oh yeah, there's all those shortcuts. No, they didn't. Yeah. We got here. We're good. But the AFC East is there for the taking. It's not that. Let me see here. We're not that deep into the season. I know it feels like we're deep into the season, but we really aren't. So the Bills are 4-2. The Dolphins are 2-3. Okay, actually won a game. The Jets are 2-4. It's not as if they're out of this thing. The Patriots are 1-5. Okay. You got the Ravens and the Steelers both 4-2. Houston's 5-1. They're playing terrific football. And they're also in a division that can be had. Indianapolis is okay. Tennessee is not. Jacksonville is not. Kansas City's 5-0. But the Chargers aren't bad. Everybody else, the Broncos or the Raiders, forget them. Washington leads the East. They're a half game up in the Eagles. The Cowboys are, I know they're 3-3, but you just don't feel like they're a factor. The Giants are 2-4. They're not a factor. Vikings, now the North. Oh! The NFC North, goodness gracious, Vikings 5-0, Lions 4-1, Packers 4-2, Bears 4-2, fun. That's fun. And then the South, Atlanta and Tampa Bay are both 4-2, but the Saints have lost 4 in a row. They're 2-4, Carolina's 1-5. And the 49ers and the Seahawks are tied for first in the West. They're 3-3. See, there's a long way to go. I mean, the Jets are 2-4, but you've got 10 games remaining in the season. And the Jets have lost 3 in a row, by the way.
I mean, I'm not sure the Jets' problems are the receivers.
Uh-oh,
or his weapons.
You're going to Aaron Rodgers.
I just keep going back to that last play of the game last night.
he is going to call the show.
we can't afford for him to call the show. We do not have enough money to pay him for that.
Oh, come on. Yeah, geez. Look at the car Kevin drives. Come on.
It's $1 million a week, I think they said, isn't it?
Well, that's how much Kevin's car is.
Well, that's true. But man, that ball was so underthrown, and he looked so mad, like it was the receiver's fault. He can't be fun to play with, man.
No, it can't be, but it could be the receiver's fault. I tell people this all the time. Says there's a lot of parts that we don't know. I'll give you an example. I'm watching practice maybe a month ago, and one of the receivers ran this 7 yard out, and the coach is like, "You got to run at 9. You got again." The ball sailed over his head. He said, and they're like, "You got to run at 9. You got to run at 9. Well, Now, if you're just watching and you don't know that and the ball sails over his head, what's your assumption?
He's overthrown.
Right. Bad pass. And it turned out the receiver shallowed the route. So, again, it could have been Rodgers' fault. The receivers could have shallowed it. Something. Who knows? Do not know. But I thought Rodgers played decently last night, not great. There's too many penalties in the game. Like, it's just every time you turn around, the game was getting stalled.
Actually, my favorite part of the game was the Hail Mary. And as somebody who's a Seahawks fan, did you see the other guy run over and start waving it off? I was like, oh, no. If they screw up another one of his Hail Marys.
Oh, I know. Now, again, the guy that waved it off was from the backside. Yeah. The ball was on the other side, and the official on that side called it a touchdown. And so, the crew got it right because they huddled up, called it a touchdown. When they went to replay, they broke it right. They called it right. So, I mean, let's give credit where credit's due in the end. Like, it's better than the Virginia Tech-Miami thing.
Yeah.
So they're claiming that Oregon used a loophole to get an intentional penalty. Okay. So, the Ducks were called for 12 men on the field with, 22 seconds ago in the game? And, okay, at the time the foul was seen as harmless, but social media caught up pretty quick. Turns out Lanning intentionally sent 12 guys onto the field, giving his secondary an extra player. The pass from Will Howard fell incomplete. The sequence took 4 seconds off the clock. And since the penalty was considered a liable one, no time was added back. Lanning admitted the penalty was intentional, and the move's not sitting right with the NCAA. Now, let me put it to you this way. Okay, what are two risks to what he did? If he did it intentionally. Well, what if his team intercepted the ball? Guess what? It would have run more time off the clock because they would have returned it. But number two, you would have ended the game. What if Howard fumbled and Oregon recovered? You wouldn't have the ball. It's interesting.
I saw something this morning that they found, like, in 2006 or 2007, Brett Bielema did the same thing.
Oh, I know. In fact, there was a kickoff rule. I'm trying to remember what it was. Like, deliberately kicking it out of bounds because the rule had changed for the one season where when the kicker hit the ball, the clock started. And at the end of the first half against Penn State, his kicker deliberately kicked two of them out of bounds and time ran off the clock. They ran the clock out. Well, they changed that rule back to where it should be, and that's when the receiver handles it. But they did it against Penn State twice, and Bielema was the coach.
Yeah. He's also not getting those pats on his Dan Lanning's If it does screw up the game, he's not getting the pats on the back he's getting today either.
Right. I mean, it's like, to me, that's deliberately doing something like that, to me, violates, quote, the spirit of the game. So I'm not crazy about that. First of all, I do think he's a really good coach. I think Dan Lanning's a very good coach. But, like, to me, that's, look, if you can't beat him 11-11, you got to do something like that. I don't respect that part very much. How about that? Just don't. You know, it's like watching the suit throw the ball out of the sand trap. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection, imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
You an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hope everyone's doing well today. Great to be with you on the show. All right. Doug Birdsong says the suit wishes he was driving a multi-million dollar Indy car, but does not dispute in any way, shape, or form that he would throw the ball out of the sand trap. The suit, the Dan Lanning of the golf course. Yeah.
That makes him a master recruiter then, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. Yes. And look at it. He recruited you to do the show.
Ah, good one.
Yeah. Just when you thought I couldn't come up with one. There you go. Yeah. Golly. So Devontae Adams is going to go to the Jets. I mean, look, they're not going to get worse.
That's true.
I mean, they're not going to get worse. Then Jerry Jones. Oh, by the way, Mike Tomlin says Russell Wilson is in consideration to start against the Jets. This is going to be interesting when I talk to Neil about this. I mean, really, because, I mean, they have been winning. They are pretty. But they have been winning. Whatever that means. As we point out 1,000 times about the NFL, it's not about style points. The NFL's about W's and that's it. Because wins and losses get you into the playoffs or whatever it happens to be. Okay. And
I'm interested to see what he says about Devontae Adams too, because that's somebody that was on the Steelers' radar. You would think it, for a little bit at least, for that, you know, there's another team that could probably use another wideout, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know how he fits, but.
Yeah, because I know at one point it was discussed. And it's going to be interesting because, I mean, the Steelers have been looking for another receiver. And the question is, Justin Fields has been doing, quote, well enough to win. Fair? Been doing well enough to win.
Yes.
Yet you don't feel like the Steelers in any way, shape, or form are dynamic. I mean, I don't think they're dynamic. but they win.
The one dynamic thing the offense has is his legs.
True.
And why? I mean, Russell is not that quarterback anymore. So I don't know how much what that does to their offense if they take him out and put Russell Wilson in.
I don't know what the question I would have would be as follows. Okay, what is it about Russell Wilson that changes your team for the better?
I would say the downfield passing gets better.
Maybe, I don't know. Right? I mean, that's in the category of maybe, I don't know.
I think his deep ball is a little more accurate. I think he's a little more accurate on those medium to deep throws than Justin Fields is. But I mean, that's not something the Steelers do a lot of anyway, though, either.
Right. Now, I'm sure the idea is, like, let's get George Pickens going here, right? Sure, that's a part of it. Let's get George Pickens going. Can Justin Fields get George Pickens going? I don't know.
I think we have to be honest. I think the only person that can get George Pickens going is George Pickens.
Yeah? I mean, the interesting thing about Pickens is that, to me, he is what I expected him to be. Can he be a dynamic player? Yes. Can he be somebody that you're like, what's going on here? Yeah. That's sort of what he was at Georgia when he was healthy. I don't know. I mean, it's just an interesting question.
I mean, he hasn't done anything yet as a rookie, but I kind of feel that he, the same way about the guy the Colts drafted from Texas that was at Georgia, where, you know, yeah, you see all these spectacular plays and you wonder, and then you look at the overall stats and you just wonder where it is 100% of the time. And I mean, Pickens has been more consistent with it this year, but he's still not, I don't think he's still given 100% of the time.
Well, let's take, for example, this is where a quarterback makes a difference. Worthy out of the University of Texas, first-round pick Kansas City. He's got Mahomes. And Worthy's dynamic. But in part, he is dynamic because he has Mahomes, right?
That certainly helps.
I mean, but he puts the ball in spots,
yeah,
where he can make plays. Now, this is a bye week, by the way, for not only Penn State, but Boise State. I'll tell you why I have not seen play. And that's Ashton Jeanty, the running back. Have you seen, like, his numbers?
I've seen his numbers, and that was one of my plans on Saturday night, was to flip up because Boise State and Hawaii was late, and then yeah, I got locked into old Colorado, Kansas State, and forgot to go, and he was already out by the time I remembered to go back.
Yeah. Now, they're off this week, and my understanding is that that they're playing Friday night next week. So I am going to get a chance to watch them when I'm out in Madison. Because somebody said to me, well, that's a 10:30 game. It's late. I said, Penn State doesn't play till 7:30 the next night. I said, I'll sleep in.
It's like, plus, it'll be 9:30 for you.
Right, exactly. So, like, okay. So I'll get a chance to see it. But I do want to see him play because I've just heard so many good things about him. I guess his numbers are dynamic.
You don't have a Heisman vote, do you?
No, I do not. I'm not allowed to have one.
You're not allowed to have one?
Because I'm paid by...
Oh.
Employed by the team. Because I'm employed by the team, I'm not allowed to have one. Now, I don't know next year when that status changes. Because at some point it has to change. And you're paid by Playfly. I don't know if I'm allowed to have one then or not. I do have a Wooden Award vote, which is interesting. I have a Wooden Award vote for National Basketball Player of the Year. So what, Genty has 217 against Hawaii on 31 carries, which is his lowest yards per carry in a game, 7. Utah State, he had 186 on 13 carries with 3 touchdowns, 14.3. Washington State, 26 carries, 259, so he averaged just about 10 yards a carry, 4 touchdowns. Portland State, 11 carries, 127. They took him out of the game in the first half, 11.5. And then Oregon, 25 carries, 192 yards, 7.7 with 3 touchdowns. Ohio State rushed for 140 against Oregon. Genty rushed for 192. How about that?
I was going to say, and Oregon had Birch when Genty played him.
Right. And not only that, I mean, Genty's not a big player. I guess he's 5'9", 215 pounds. But I've never, I mean, to my knowledge, I mean, it's not like I haven't seen Boise State play or whatever, but it's been a few plays here, a few plays there. I made no note of whether he was in the game or not. But I do want to watch him play. When they, I think it's UNLV they're playing, which is a really good matchup.
Ooh.
But I mean, that's a good Friday night game. I like that. Again, I'm the hypocrite. I rail against Friday night football because I want to protect high school football. Yet I'm one of the people that watches it. Like, okay.
That'll be a good nightcap for me. I know where I will be at next Friday night, and that will be at the Silver Bowl. That is.
Oh, you're going to be there?
Okay. It is the Coal Bucket and Shamokin. If they beat Loyal Sox, Shamokin will be 9-0 and not have won that game since 1995.
Wow.
And the Red Tornadoes should go into that one at 7-2.
Were you at the Shamokin-Lewisburg game?
I was.
So why did it play out the way it did as somebody who looked up the score in Los Angeles?
Well, it was 17-3 at one point in the first half. Shamokin really controlled the ball the first 3 times they got the ball. The only 3 times they had the ball in the first half until... And Lewisburg went 3 and out the first time and then didn't get the ball again until the second quarter. They found some things they could do in the second half. They got it to 17-12, but Shamokin's defense played well in the fourth quarter. There was a play where Lewisburg goes to a sophomore receiver, Jalen Walker, a lot, and he had 3 catches for 80 yards, and 2 of the defensive backs went with him on a long pass, and the kid in the seam looked like he was wide open, but the safety broke off the double coverage and kind of came back and made a great interception, and that was probably Lewisburg's last real good chance to score. It is one of those things that Lewisburg is a real good football team, just that Shamokin's just probably a little bit better, and you know both teams are going to make some noise in a couple weeks when the playoffs start. I have little doubt.
Interesting. Well, they may see each other again, right?
No, Lewisburg's 3A, Shamokin's 4A, yeah.
I got you. So Lewisburg gets a lot of credit for playing them because it was a step up, right?
Yeah, it's a division. I mean, they have played the last couple years. It's a crossover. It's a crossover game. Lewisburg was playing up in 3A, or playing up from 3A into 4A the last couple years.
Okay.
because people thought Southern was going to get hit with the competition thing and be moved up a class, so they wanted to get out of 3A, and it turned out it didn't happen. So everybody that was 3A that went to 4A is back down in 3A now.
Well, yeah, because the one thing I noticed right away, I was just looking at scores when I was in the hotel in Los Angeles, and all three teams lost.
Yeah, Bloomsburg is one of those teams that started out 1-4, I think. Their one win was Central Mountain, but their other four losses, every other team was undefeated or had one loss. So they were a little better in their record indicated, and Shikellamy fell behind, I think, 14-0. It was a one-score game for most of the fourth quarter until Bloomsburg got a late score. They kept it close. You know, it's the bad part for Schick is they end with Mount Carmel and Southern, and Selinsgrove's offense just didn't. You know, Selinsgrove couldn't do anything offensively. I think it was 21-13, I think, at the half, but it ended up 57-13. It's because the second half did not go well. Selinsgrove scored on their first drive of the game, and then
first of all, Hollidaysburg's really good. So yeah, let's understand that. I mean, their only loss was to a team from Maryland.
Yeah, and you know, they've now beaten Jersey Shore and Selinsgrove fairly well. Jersey Shore wasn't fairly easily, but Selinsgrove fairly easily. And you know, right now the Mifflinburg win keeps looking better and better, because Mifflinburg now has won three in a row and on their way to, you know, getting back on track. And you know, Mifflinburg was up on them in the first half before Hollidaysburg rallied in the second half. So, you know, yeah, Hollidaysburg is real good, and I think Selinsgrove just, it's the, you know, the offense sometimes has trouble getting first downs. The defense gets worn down, and then all heck breaks loose in the second half. Kind of the same thing that happened up at Jersey Shore in the third week of the season.
Yeah. So, yeah. Interesting. Well, we'll get into a high school roundtable on Thursday. It's bounce back week for everybody.
Yes.
So, I guess they asked Gene Steratore about the Tyler Warren play. He said there are certain questions. He says, one, can anybody snap the ball? Yes. Can anyone snap? He said, anyone can snap the football. How can the center be eligible in a forward pass play? He says, well, after the ship, Warren was the center, but he was also eligible on the line of scrimmage. The other two receivers to the left of him were in front of Drew Aller, thus they were in the backfield. That means he's on the line of scrimmage. And, of course, he's wearing an eligible number. Remember, college football is a sport. This is the difference between the NFL and college. You cannot report into the game with an ineligible number, 50 to 79, and be an eligible receiver. You can't. You literally have to change your jersey. So remember, Nebraska's playing in Illinois. Illinois threw it to an offensive lineman for a touchdown. Well, Henderson changed his number from 75 to 94, which then they report in and tell everybody, hey, 94, you know, 75 changed to 94. He has to wear an eligible number to make the play. So you can't set up like that, and with Nick Dawkins snapping the ball, even though, you know, Nick Dawkins would still be ineligible because he's wearing 53. But because of the setup, okay, off the line, even with the guys off the line of scrimmage and he's the guy in the end of the line, guess what? He's ineligible. But because Warren wears 44, he's eligible.
So when they run the lineman in motion, he can't ever go out for a pass then,
no,
correct?
No. See, you cannot. So when Ioane goes in motion, he is not an eligible receiver. When he splits out, so when Ioane splits out, at one point he did split out in the game, right? And I mean, he wasn't in the slot, he was split out, and he came in motion, okay? He's not an eligible receiver. And I think I even said that in the play-by-play. Like, you know, he's split out, but he's, you know, at 71, he's not eligible. So if you are in the college football, if you are 50 to 79, and that's the number you're wearing on the field offensively, you are an ineligible receiver regardless of where you line up. In the pros, you can bring in a 50 to 79, and then you have to go to the official and tell them that you are an eligible receiver. You're going to line up in an eligible spot. Right? College, no. 50 to 79, no matter what the formation, no matter what it is, 50 to 79 is always ineligible. I think some people out there learned something today.
I am one.
So there you go. Take a break. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
There are a few games this weekend where people were complaining about, quote, fake injuries. A couple of SEC games where they were talking about the number of, quote, injuries on the field. Every time they turn around, somebody was getting hurt. All right. I think Georgia Tech, North Carolina, and the ACC was one of the games. All right. You have to do something about that. And the reason you have to do something about it is, to me, if that happens, well, first of all, it's hard to determine if a guy's faking an injury. You don't know. That's the hard part. You don't know. Because you have, go ahead.
I was going to say, how do you tell a cramp is real or not?
Right. I mean, that's the problem with that. You're now delving into an area where you don't know how, quote, somebody feels.